Okay, so I've unmuted the call. Now, I've had a suggestion from a couple of people that they actually liked to hear the questions and answers. Some of them couldn't stay on the call. So I'm going to leave the call on recording for now. If anybody, if I feel that there's nobody speaking up because they feel uncomfortable, then I'll take off the recording. But for now, I'm going to leave the recording on. And if anyone has any questions, now is the time. Just before we do take questions, sorry, Yitzhakji, I just want to tell you that if you've got background noise, which I do hear someone sounds like they're in a shopping center, please press *6 on your keypad so that we can't hear the background noise. If you feel like you're in a shopping center or public place, please press *6 now so that we don't hear the background noise. I think that we're going to have to do a master mute, and those of you that want to share...
still recording.
*6 to come in. Okay, I've just muted the call because there's background noise. If you do want to participate, please press *6 now on your keypad, and we can open for questions and answers. Before we do open for questions and answers, I just want to say thank you to everyone on this call for taking the courage to work this program. And I really hope that we all find serenity and sobriety and freedom. Please, if you have any questions on what we did, on what we spoke about today, then please do ask now. Also, one other thing as well is if you don't have Step 4 worksheet, please email me. My email again is puredaniel613@gmail.com. That's puredaniel613@gmail.com, and I'll send you the worksheet. If you don't have a sponsor to do steps 4 and 5 with, then also please email me. Thank you. Who do we have on the call that would like to ask a question?
Is this being recorded?
It is being recorded because I have had some requests of people that wanted to hear questions and answers at the end. But if I find that we're not getting a response because people are uncomfortable, then I will switch off the recording.
Okay.
Should I take it that you are not comfortable?
Well, I think Yitzhakji had a question beforehand, so I'll be patient.
Okay. So, okay. Yitzhakji, hi. By the way, also as another thing as well is if you don't feel comfortable to mention your name, just come in and ask a question without saying your name. It's fine. Hi, Yitzhak. Sorry.
Hi, Daniel. I can't take my hat off enough to you, except I need to keep my head covered because I'm a Jew. But it's incredible. I just have a question. Out of my own curiosity, these insights and this progression of recovery that you're saying so nicely, so beautifully, does this come from Paul F., or is it from your own experience? I'm just curious.
Sure. So I'm not.
It's
not
really
going
put
to
together
take,
so beautifully.
Thank you so much. I'm not going to take full credit. I will say that I got this program originally from Paul F. Paul F. is an alcoholic with 25 years of sobriety. Paul F. got this program from his sponsor, who got it from someone in the early 1940s when they originally started these groups. The other thing I do want to say is, I mean, just on the side, is I did prepare. I do take a few hours for each session to prepare, and I do write out. Today I wrote out about 18 pages of content to put this all together, but it's an absolute pleasure to do it, and I have to do it for my own sobriety. That's what you're going to realize, that step 12 is all about giving back, and that's how I stay sober. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be quiet. Let somebody with a real question speak up now.
So we had someone just before who wanted to ask a question.
Yes. If I am looking to be a sponsor and I'm not fully integrated in the program, but I feel like I have some emotional connection with the person that I want to be a sponsee. Meaning, I don't have it as clear as you, and I don't know if I can ever do a 12-step by sitting for hours and writing 18 pages. But I do want to help someone, and I can relate to the people. How would you answer that question?
It's a very good question. First of all, I just want to say I had this question last week about, you know, someone said I don't want to do as much as you're doing to stay sober. That's ridiculous.
I don't mind doing that, but I'm just saying I don't see myself.
Right. I just want to just say, first of all, that I think it's different for everyone in terms of how much time you need to give. I give what I can. I can't give more than I can, and I definitely don't want to give less. I give what I can. I owe so much to this program. And the amount of freedom that I've got from doing this is much, much more than I had it when I was acting out. So I'm more than happy to spend time doing this. God has blessed me with the ability to spend time to do it. But that doesn't mean that everyone else has to put in this much time in order to do step 12. You can just sponsor one or two people and you're doing a step 12. You can go to meetings and do a step 12 by sharing and giving others hope. That's doing step 12 as well and offering yourself as a sponsor. In terms of answering your specific question with regards to you being a sponsor, the only requirement for being a sponsor, bear in mind, and this is a major misconception that people have in this program, the major misconception, I've heard it from so many people, don't you have to be a year sober to sponsor? Don't you have to be at least 6 months or 3 months? It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Dr. Bob was 2 days sober when he sponsored his first sponsee. Okay? And can you imagine if Bill Wilson, right, had to be a year sober before he went out and helped Dr. Bob? Imagine Dr. Bob said to Bill, before you continue, how long have you been sober for? You know, oh, you've only been sober for a week, 2 weeks? Forget about it. Or we wouldn't have this program. So it's a major misconception. And the answer to the question of how do you know when you're ready to be a sponsor, the answer is when you have done the first 11 steps and you've had spiritual awakening through the first 11 steps, then you are ready to be a sponsor. And not only are you ready to be a sponsor, you have an obligation to be a sponsor. You have an obligation. What that means is if you're at a meeting and there's somebody there that's a newcomer and he doesn't have a sponsor, you have a duty to go up to him after the meeting and say, hi, my name is XYZ. Nice to meet you. Do you have a sponsor? And if he says no, you say, you do now. At least temporarily. At least temporarily until he finds one. That's my duty. That's your duty. If you have done the 11 steps properly, you've had a spiritual awakening, you have a duty to do that. And in fact, if you don't do that, the book says you will not stay sober. You will not stay sober. How many guys have I seen that have done that have had sobriety and they haven't done steps 12? They haven't done step 12, and they fell. Now, it doesn't mean that if you do step 12, you'll stay sober, because if you didn't do the first 11 steps properly, then you're not going to really be, you know, much of a good sponsor. So, you know, bear in mind that to be a good sponsor, I need to have God's power. I need to access God's power, because I can't do it myself. Who am I? I'm a raging sexaholic. My mind is corrupt. I need to have God's power. I need to be submitting myself to God on a daily basis. So I hope that helps and answers the question.
Daniel,
thank you.
Hi, I have a question. I have a question. I'm doing my fourth step. First of all, thank you very much. It was extremely inspiring. Now I'm doing my fourth step inventory. As I'm doing it, I realize that I feel that I really don't have too much resentment. That's not my issue. My issue is jealousies, which I consider it as a resentment, but it's not resentments per se. So my question is, you know, I did the first three columns. When I got to the fourth column, my part in this, how do I fill that out with jealousies? What's my part in jealousies? Jealousies is an emotion that comes. Do I have a part in it?
Let me ask you this. First of all, I think the question is a really good question. I actually am sponsoring now someone who's also going through step four, and he's also asked me the same question. He said to me, "I don't have any resentments. I'm a fairly easygoing guy. I don't really resent many people." We are surprised to see that if we really put pen to paper and just start trying to go through our life, we will find, and not only just sit down in one sitting, but on a daily basis, try and catch yourself when you feel a little bit uncomfortable with someone else. Try and catch yourself feeling a little bit, you know, like that guy rubbed me up the wrong way. I don't have to want to kill the guy and run him over with a truck. I just have to feel a little bit of, you know, uncomfort towards him. In terms of your question about jealousy, I totally agree with you. If I'm jealous of someone, that is, technically speaking, again, it depends on what the jealousy is, but it could be a resentment towards them. Because why do they have it and not me? And if you look at my part in this, it actually shows you've got selfishness, self-seeking, need to control, scared of loss, and inconsiderate. Now, let me ask you this. If I want what someone else has, am I not being self-seeking? If I want what someone else has, am I not being selfish? If I want what someone else has, am I not saying, "God, why did you not give this to me? I want this." Am I not needing to control? Am I not being inconsiderate? Because why shouldn't he have it? Why can't I be considerate of that person and be happy with what he has? Am I not scared of loss? Because, oh, hold on a second, if he's got that and I don't have that, I'm scared that I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose what? I don't know. I'm going to lose my reputation. I'm going to lose the ability to do this and to do that. Do you hear where I'm coming from?
Yes.
I don't know if I've answered it at all, or if, yes, if at least I've helped in some. Thank you.
Hello?
Hi. Daniel? Yes.
CS here.
Hi, C.
Just, could you please, you know, if possible, reconcile for me, and I don't think I'm speaking just for myself, this idea that, you know, we focus on our part in all the resentment and in the what you said, you became when at the point that we became a sexaholic, with the idea that I think a lot of us started, to be honest, really we were children, and again in my case, and I assume in other people's cases as well, it came out of a abusive relationships and things like that, where at that point in my life, really, in a certain sense, I had no other options. You know, I was a child. So, you know, focusing in on what was my part in it, at that point, it's very hard to say that I had really any part in it. And then going forward, you know, in a certain sense, once I was hooked, it's very, very, very difficult to let go. So can you just reconcile, you know, that, you know, my history and I assume other people's history with this idea of my part in it?
Yeah.
Wow. That is an incredible question. First of all, I have to be very careful because I have to be very sensitive to what you went through. And I think it would be wrong of me to just give you a blanket answer. If someone has sexually abused you, it must have completely and utterly caused untold pain and suffering. And I have sort of almost no right to just sort of come out and just give you an answer. The only thing I can say is there are people who are out there that are sick. And if there's one thing I know, it's that I'm sick and I have to see other people who have done wrong to me as sick people. And it may not happen right away, and it may take a lot of time and a lot of praying to get to a point where I can accept, not that I can say they were right. It's not about right or wrong. Remember, when I act out, whether it's masturbating or whether it's having an affair or whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be, I'm not a bad person, but I'm sick and I'm trying to get better. And the way that I need to look at other people when they've done something wrong to me is that they are sick and they need to get better. And it's not my business how they get better, but I need to be rid of them in my life, because as long as I am holding on to their inventory, meaning as long as I'm holding on to their problem, I can't get better. And it's not right for me. It's not right for me to hold myself back and to deny myself freedom and joyous life because I'm holding on to someone else. And all I could say is that when a person prays, I don't know how it works, but it works for me. No matter how much resentment and anger I have towards someone, that is very beautiful, but that's very disturbing. I just muted the call because it sounded like there was an ice cream van going by, and it was quite a serious discussion. But you can unmute if you press star 6. If you'd like to come in, please press star 6 now. But just to continue sort of and to end with what I'm saying is that for some reason, if I pray for somebody, no matter how much anger and resentment I have for them, I cannot hold on to that resentment if I keep praying for them to get better. Whatever it is, if I keep praying for that person that he should have whatever it is that he needs in his life, I cannot resent him. There comes a point that I cannot resent him anymore, and it goes away. I cannot explain it. It's a God-given gift, but it's a fact that if you pray for a person who you resent, doesn't matter how much you resent him, if you pray for him every single day and you just pray that he has whatever he needs and you pray and you wish him well, the resentment somehow magically disappears. I can't promise it will happen straight away. Probably it won't. And I can also tell you this. The first time you do it may be the most excruciatingly painful and uncomfortable thing you ever do, but then I ask you a question. And it's very insensitive for me to say it, but I can only say it because I care, and I want you to really get through this program and to taste what it means to be free. But ask yourself, how free do I want to be? And then if it's still hard, I ask and I pray for the willingness to pray for this person. Sometimes I'm so mad and so angry that I can't pray for him, so I ask God to give me the willingness to pray for him. I say, God, please give me the willingness to pray for this person. I don't know if that's helped, but I hope it has to some degree. This is about progress, not perfection.
Thank you.
And perhaps maybe if there's anybody on the call that has had that experience as well and that's managed to come through it, it would be a very good opportunity to maybe come in and to share on it and or even exchange details to be able to help see through that. Does anyone have any questions, or would anyone like to share on that? Bear in mind that I've muted everyone, so if you're trying to talk and we're not listening to you, it's because you haven't pressed star 6 on your keypad. So press star 6 on your keypad now to come back in. I would unmute, but I'm scared that ice cream van is still there. Hi.
I cannot fully relate either, but what I would say is that my part in this might have been that I am just another soldier in Hashem's army. and that he knows where to move the pieces, and he knows how to, you know, ultimately carry me through life, and that protects me, and that gives me some matter of consolation that I don't always call the shots. Like you said, we don't run the play. We're not the playwright. We're not the script writer. Hashem is, and that has helped me.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Would anyone else like to come in and share on that, or if anyone has any other questions relating to...
Hey, Daniel, hi.
Hi,
it's Meir. I do have a question about the second step. It's about to accept that there is higher power that could...
Sorry, can you repeat that? I don't know if I heard that or if anyone else heard that.
My question is about the second step. I accept that there is a higher power that could help me out.
Correct.
Although I'm prone on everything and I believe I'm a moon and everything in God, but I have a problem with this, that who said that there is really higher power, or let's say, who said that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing to help me out with it? Let's say the first step was that I'm not able to get out, but who said that someone else could get me out?
So I'm going to say two things there. Number one, it's we don't say that God is willing. We say that I am willing. Of course God is willing. Not only is God willing, but God could and he will. We know that from step 10. Step 10, will. God will return my sanity. We know that. We know that. But it's about me having the willingness. Am I willing to believe that? And bear in mind, by the way, as well, the word willing doesn't mean I have to believe now. It means I'm willing to believe. It doesn't say I believe that a power greater than myself. I am willing to believe. And that's all is expected of me now. In step two, all that is expected of me now is just to have a willingness. I'm just willing to believe. I'll take a certain amount of understanding that yes, God could return my sanity, and in fact, I'd also like to say that going back to the previous question, again, step four, there could be people on the list that I'm so angry at that I don't even need to actually fully accept them, but I can at least be willing to pray for them. And that's all I need. I just need a willingness. And I just need to pray for a willingness. And that's all I need at this point. Just need a willingness to believe.
Thank you.
Have I answered that question?
I think so, yeah. You mean that I don't have to believe now, but it's enough that I want to believe, even if it's hard for me now.
Correct, absolutely. And in fact, it's important to just listen to other people who have been through this program and who were doing the same things and were acting out and falling and slipping and you know, not managing to get 2 days of sobriety in a row. I can tell you from my experience, I went through a period of time when I just could not stay sober for more than 1 day. And I can guarantee you this. When I was in the disease and when I was falling, I said to my sponsor and I said to the program, F you, because you are not going to help me and God cannot help me because I feel forsaken. I feel like God has given up on me. Because every time I say, God, why, I don't want to do this. Why are you doing this to me? Well, you know, I couldn't believe. I could not believe that I was going to get better. I couldn't believe that I would be able to not act out and not lust and not look at women. I couldn't believe it. But guess what? One thing I could do was I could look at other people who had been through the program and had been through what I went through and were free, happy, and joyous. And I could look at them and say, maybe I'm willing to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. Just base it on what you see in others.
Thanks very much. Yeah, it helps. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone like to comment on that, or does anyone have any other questions? Remember, we're talking steps 2, 3, and 4. Yes.
Could I ask another question, Maya?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. It helps me to understand. You said that if I understood correctly, that all the things that other people did wrong to me, it's my fault.
Yeah.
So it's really that everything that went wrong is all my fault. It's the same that it could be my fault, but it could also be someone else's fault.
Yep, 100%. But the problem is I can't do that. Because the minute I take a bit of control and say, oh, you know what, maybe it's his fault as well, then I'm in trouble. Because, remember, I have been, right, my problem isn't lust. My problem is that I have been egocentric to the extreme. I've been self-centered to the extreme. I've taken, blamed. Everyone was at fault but me. So I need to rid myself of that. And the only way I could rid myself of that is to give myself over completely to God. And the only way I can do that is to just look at my own problem. What was my part in it doesn't mean that the other person had nothing in his part, but that's his inventory. And I'm not taking his inventory. He might be sick and he may need to do a step for himself. He may need to clean his side of the street, but that's not my business. My business is to take care of my issues. What was my part? By the way, notice it says, what was my part in it? It doesn't say what I was completely wrong. It was my part. Listen to the words. What was my part in it? So there's two parts here. There's his part. There's my part. There's parts. But the focus has to be on me. The focus has to be, what was my part in it? It doesn't mean he was completely fine. He wasn't. There was a scuffle. Whatever it was. But that's not my business. I do my part.
Okay,
does that make
sense? Yeah, it makes sense. Thanks.
If it doesn't make sense, say, it doesn't make sense, you idiot. And I'll try and...
It makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions? This is the time to ask. By the way, if anyone feels uncomfortable because of the recording, I'm happy to turn it off. I'm not quite sure how to get you to signal that, because obviously by saying something, that kind of defeats the purpose. Maybe if you grunt into the phone, if you go, then I don't think anybody on this planet will recognize who you are. But if you feel like coming on and asking a question, and you feel uncomfortable because of the recording, then just go like that. I don't think your own wife would know who you are if she was on the call. And she probably wouldn't be on the call because she's probably not a male sexaholic. So would anyone else like to ask any questions or comment on what was being said so far?
If there is no any question, I have a third question.
Yep, please.
I face many times the fear that even that if I'm now in a good process in recovery, I do have a fear that I could forget it just at the point that I'm starting to lust or whatever. I just have to fear that all my process is unstable, and I might lose it in the next opportunity. What could you suggest me?
Can you repeat? Can you just clarify what you mean? I'm I don't think I heard it. I don't think I heard it.
I do have a certain process now. Yeah?
You do have in, a what? In, sorry, eh?
I do have a certain process now in my recovery.
Process. Okay.
But I do face a fear that I may forget just about all that I've learned in the program.
Okay.
And that the next opportunity that I'm lasting, I'll just
right.
throw everything away because it's not enough stable in me.
Correct. So you're basically saying that you fear that although you're working this program and you're doing what you need to do, you're scared that you're going to fall because the next opportunity you have to act out, it's going to be overwhelming and you're going to act out. Correct?
Yeah.
So this is a common fear. I relate to that 100%. The only thing I can say is that number one, we work this program one day at a time. I can only do today. That's all I can focus on. I can't focus on tomorrow. I can't think about what's going to be in 2 days' time or 2 weeks' time or 2 years' time. That's just not going to help me. I have to focus on staying sober today. And the only way I can stay sober today is by working the steps today and by doing the tools today, using the tools today. And it says, actually, one of the promises is that it's a daily reprieve. I can't remember exactly where it is in the big book, okay? But it says that we have a daily reprieve. It doesn't say that we're constant, that's it, we're done, we're finished. As long as we work the steps on a daily basis, one day at a time, we're guaranteed to have a daily reprieve from lust. But it's only one day at a time. The minute that I switch off and I think that I'm all okay and, oh, look at that, I haven't acted out in a year, you know, I don't need the program anymore, I'm fine, let me get back to normal life, I'm finished. Then I've got a real fear because, yes, at that point, I will probably most likely act out at some point. But as long as I'm working the program one day at a time, I have the guarantee of the big book that I will not act out if I'm doing the steps properly on a daily basis. I have that guarantee. And not only that, but I have the 12 promises. The 12 promises is much more than that. It's not only will I not act out today, but I'm guaranteed to have freedom, happy, joyous, and free life. I have a guarantee that I will have no fear of I will cease to fear or fight anything or anyone. That's a promise. Fear of economic situations will leave me. That's a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Is there anything that you could suggest? Look for something that when I wake up and I want to start my day, and I just want to remind myself that I'm in the program and that I'm in a program process. Is there anything that you could suggest that how to start the day?
100%. In fact, what I should do is I'm going to email to the guys my morning and evening routine, which I found absolutely incredibly. It's so important for me to have the beginning of my day and the end of my day with this system that I have. I'm going to email it to everyone, but I'll tell you very briefly that what I do every morning is I get on my knees. The first thing I do in the morning is I get on my knees and I say three prayers. I say the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, and I say the day prayer. I then go over my gratitude list, which I have. I have a list of 55 things that I'm grateful for, which constantly I add to. And I go over that. And I say, thank you, God, for this. I also read the Just for Today card, which I have, which I can email that to you. And I also read the acceptance card. I then plan out my day very briefly just to have an idea of what my plan is for the day, because it's important to have an outline of what I'm doing, and I also then, if I can, read out of the big book or the White Book, or the 12 and 12. I read just literally just maybe even a paragraph or a few paragraphs, and then I read the 12 promises. That's my morning routine. Now, I know it sounds like a lot, but it could take literally 10 to 15 minutes max to do all of that. And I can guarantee you that if you do 15 minutes of that every morning, you will be guaranteed to have a different day. No question about it. Your day will be different. I can testify to the fact that on the days that I have not done it, the days that I've woken up and I've been in a rush and I didn't manage to do it, well, I can tell you right now, they were not as good as days when I have done it. At the evening, before I go to sleep, I first read out the Big Book or the 12 and 12 or the White Book. Again, I could read a chapter or a few, or a couple of paragraphs, depending on time. I add one thing to my gratitude list. I then do a daily review. So I actually have a diary where I basically review my day. So I think about, was any lust that crept up? Was there any resentments? Was I selfish or anything that I experienced that day? And it can also be good things. In fact, it has to be also good things, you know? Did I do something good today? What did I do? Basically, a short review of my day and how my day went. And then I get on my knees and I say the night prayer. Again, I can email it to you and you can have it. And that's just one, again, it's a suggestion. It's definitely helped me. But that's just a suggestion if you want.
Okay, thank you. It sounds very impressive.
For me, it's a necessity, right? I get up and I brush my teeth in the morning. That's a necessity. I don't want my teeth to fall out, so I brush my teeth. This is the same thing. I want to have a lust-free day today. I want to have a happy, joyous-free day today. I want to have a selfless day today. And so that's what I got to do.
Thank you.
So I don't know if there's anyone else. Thank you. I don't know if there's anyone else that has any questions or comments or suggestions. But if you would, then you can come in. I'm still on the call. Again, I don't know if I should stop the recording. Perhaps I should, just to see if there's anyone else who would like to ask a question, but feels uncomfortable. So I'm going to end the recording now. Thank you to anyone who's listening to this recording. And I'd love to hear your feedback if you can send me an email to puredaniel613@gmail.com. Thank you.